Welcome to the Rugby Oaks podcast. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show with your hosts, Matt and George.
George, we're back! What an awesome weekend of rugby. South African derbies, best of the best, let's be honest. We saw the Bulls beat our Stormers, meaning that I had to wear the Bull shirt in celebration for us being a non-Stormers podcast. We saw the Lions decimate the Sharks. It's been an unbelievable weekend of rugby.
It has been. It is with great sadness that I say, finally, the Bulls won a game against the Stormers. One in seven or something, but well played, Thiller. Well played. They deserved it. They deserved it. And like you said, the Sharks getting creamed by the Lions.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great for rugby. Great for rugby to see these games.
It's great for rugby. Look, the Bulls, it ended up being 40-22, almost 47-22, because Kirkley Ahrens had a little breakaway try at the end, which was called back. Loftus-Versfeld absolutely packed to the rafters. What an unbelievable atmosphere. Anyone who says that South African rugby isn't well supported, just go and watch Bulls, Stormers, even the Sharks a couple of weeks ago. When we have real opponents, when we have proper matches that the fans buy into and understand, absolutely fantastic. The Bulls wanted it more, George. They wanted it more on the day. I think the Stormers, we went in there maybe a little bit kind of, I mean, look, the captain, Dion Fury, said at the end of the game, he thought they just thought things were going to happen. Weren't working hard enough. We're giving away silly penalties. We weren't playing the ref particularly well. You cannot do that at Loftus-Versfeld.
No, I agree. The guys didn't turn up fully for the fight. The Buller did. The Bulls also took all their chances. Well, they missed one or two, but they took their chances. So they built scoreboard pressure. You could see if there was a penalty, kick for poles. Penalty, kick for poles. Obviously, you're up in the high field, so you can kick it from 80 meters away. But that's what helped them. They built that scoreboard pressure. Yes, halftime was close. But the Buller, unfortunately, I need to stop saying unfortunate. The Buller had it. It's good. Yeah. Well done to them. It was a good game. A good game for them.
You're right. They did go for all their points, which I felt at the time I was getting a bit frustrated. I thought it was, excuse my language, a pussy move, not going for the tries. Obviously, it didn't matter in the end of the day because they got their four-try bonus point. They won by 18 points. Points difference was massive. They move up into second points of the log and they pushed the Stormers down into ninth place. But I was getting frustrated. They were going for the kicks all the time because I thought, look, it was actually could have been a rangy, wide open game. But the Bulls came there with a game plan. It was non-negotiable to that they had to win that. They had to break the spell. But also they didn't want to play much rugby. Let's be honest. They only threw the ball around a couple of times during the game. They wanted to be tight, physical, and there's nothing wrong with that. I've got nothing wrong with that. The Stormers thought they could play from everywhere. The one positive is they did play from everywhere, and they did pretty well at it. The execution in the final, just those little bits, the couple of lineouts, couple of drops on the line. We attacked from everywhere, and it was fantastic rugby to watch, but it just was not good enough on the day.
No, sadly not. And my boy Andre Juventus, unfortunately, had a blip there. But as a hooker, we've all done it. I was called Sprinkler back in the day. But he had that one muck, which you can't do. It's just, we were there on the 5-meter line. We were so close. Yeah.
But we had that position four times in the game, five times in the game, and executed once. It was there to win. I think the scoreboard at the end probably looks a little bit better for the Bulls. Probably all those points that they kicked over that I didn't like that made it happen.
Yeah, they are. And like we've said on previous occasions, Jake White's got some magic. He's won a World Cup. He knows what he's doing. And he was up against Dobbo for the, whatever it was, seventh, eighth time. And he got it this time. He got it. We'll give it to them. But I have to agree with you. The Bulls are looking top of the pops. In terms of South African teams, which is, it's not a bad thing. They've got a good mix of players there. Not a bad thing at all. Good mix of players, internationals and non-international players. I'm talking like box. And it's great. And I'm glad the stadium was packed. 51,000 plus people singing Rasi, Rasi. That just, like you said, it proves we can fill out a bloody stadium. Go struggle to fill out your 10,000 seater. Don't worry, we'll fill up a 50,000 seater. No problem.
The URC has adopted this derby and is really, look, the URC is benefiting. How many people are watching it? It hasn't been a close one for you know, from time to time. It's now 7-1, and we go on and hopefully next year continue a very hard fought series. But George, do you know what the North South Derby and the URC has got in common with the Rugby World Cup final?
No.
It's a 7-1 split, baby. Oh, I had to get a dad joke in there. Been thinking about it all weekend. I thought it would crack you up. I'm glad it did. But we can move swiftly on. We can move swiftly on to the Lions versus the Sharks. Oh, I mean, it's like, had to check my eyes when I was watching this thing. What did it end up? 40 to 10? 40 yeah. points to 10. For the Lions, God bless him. God bless the Lions. One of my favorite teams to watch because they just, said it before, they're a little team that could have taken on the might and the finance and the American backing, Hollywood bet backing, all the rest of it, of this Sharks team who honestly could not buy a win, literally and figuratively.
It's almost like if you compare it to soccer or football, it's like Real Madrid playing Luton Town. No, that's a bit harsh. Lions are a bit higher than Luton. But
and
it's all that money and not so much money.
It's and the Galacticos of Durban. You're right. You know, and and before, you know, the Sharks try to play mind games in the week leading up to it by, you know, announcing that they're signing two of the Lions players for next season, announcing it, come on, the week of the Lions game. To be honest, it's massive, massive shithousery. I didn't like it really, but they try to kind of stick the knife in there with Jordan Hendrickse being signed as number 10 to move in and try and give that position some much needed stability in the Sharks, join up with his brother Jaden, who is a Springbok as well. Jordan recently been invited to the alignment camps. And Emmanuel Tachuka also joining his brother, who moved over from the Lions about a season and a half ago, hasn't really progressed. So I worry for those young players that are going over there. But look, the talent that's coming through, they've got to get a win at some point.
At some point. I don't know who they're going to get it against, but flipping out, it's sad to watch considering the amount of money and the players that are there. Do we need to redistribute the wealth? Do we dilute the Sharks? No, that's the wrong word. Dissolve the Sharks. Goodbye, Sharks. And then, because it's just, what is going on there? Is there something in the Durban water? There's no Sharks in the water. it's flip to watch. I don't know. I don't understand. You used to worry when you played the Sharks. And now? What's going on? I'm being harsh. Look, I'm being a dickhead. But
we are being harsh. But come on, if there was panic stations, if there was a time to press the panic button, it is now. Now, have they given up on the season and gone, well, we're not going to make the playoffs, so who cares? Mentally, players check out that way.
I suppose what I would do is go into the change room, not just the change room. Go into the Shark Tank. And I get everyone in. You need the whole gang in there. And you could be very colorful. You don't have to be colorful, but I'd drop a couple P bombs and I'd lose my mind because I don't know what is going on there. The Sharks are not playing for Durban. And we've said it before. The Bulls play for the Bulla and the people of Pretoria and for South Africa. And the Sharks play for Fokker. I don't know what's going on there. They need to catch a wake up. I don't care that they've got double World Cup winners in their team. Those fellas need to be picking everyone up and giving them a dressing down as well, because the Sharks have got a legacy. They're a big team. I'm getting very passionate about this, but it's not on. Like, they need to be sat down. Do you bench all the A-listers that they've got and just put the lighties in? Probably not the best thing to do, but there's something not working there. And I don't know. I don't want to blame the coach. They all need to have a hard look at themselves in the mirror and in a room, and they need some hard truths. Do you have another Camp Staldraad situation and make them bleed for each other? Probably not. But something needs to be done. But they can fly me up to Durban or down to Durban, and I'll go have a word with the Oaks. I know that the Sharks are not my number one team, but you've got to love the Sharks. And I'll go give them some yelp, because someone needs to bloody do it.
Someone needs to do it, George. Someone needs to do it. I think you're the man to do it. But you're absolutely right. It's from the top to the bottom. Every single person in that organization needs to have a look at themselves on the coaching side of it, because actually the marketing's been pretty good. Has a deep, hard look at yourself, coaching, players, every single part of it. You sit down and go, guys, we are failing. We need to start again. We need to reset. And until you get the buy-in from the players, George, none of that's going to happen.
Yeah. They need to put in some sort of system, that like a demerit system. I don't know. They kick it old school. Do you treat people like school kids again? I don't know, but they need a wake up, and I don't know what it'll be. They need something special in Durban to sort them out. Maybe a Laka Bunny Chow will fix it. I don't know, but we need something.
Come on, little culture change. Come, Sharks. We were relying on you. Please go and win the Challenge Cup as well. You're bringing in some big guns. That's been announced as well. In addition to the Lions players, we've got Trevor and Kanye. Obviously, a season in Russing. Obviously, not loving it, or maybe family reasons. Coming home and going to Durban. I think that's, listen, any team that's got Trevor Nyakane, I will say, will have an incredible scrum. They've already got great players. He's probably getting a little bit on the old side to be at the next World Cup, but he's going to be a hell of a player for the Sharks. And then my absolute favorite center at the moment, Andre the Giant, straight from the Harlequins, absolutely gunning for that box shirt. Then on to international rugby, chasing the sun watch, George. We're getting these little snippets coming out every week of Chasing the Sun, little teasers ahead of the release date at the end of March on SuperSport. Now, there's been a little bit of reaction in the media, Rugby Pass, whatever, people jumping on it. But Bongi, talking about England, talking about their celebrations, plastic celebrations, he calls them.
It is a big talking point, because especially there's a couple of players in particular that get chirped about it, but that comment, it had me in stitches. I loved it. It is true, though, because what is that whole clip about? Bongi's talking about a scrum which England won, and then he's like, but they got to scrum us, got to scrum these guys. Come
on. Oh, hang it in the Louvre, George. Look, it's a classic bit that I guess is done because there's this little hatred for Bongi for, the Witkant remarks. And, we won't go into that again. We've all been laughing at England. Even the commentators have been laughing at England. All the other countries have been laughing at England for these celebrations, for other teams having knock-ons. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And he sums it up quite, I don't know if that's a phrase that's been used before, plastic energy. It sounds like energy on a Monday morning in the office, maybe. I don't know. But it's true. You're celebrating things like knock-ons. It's in order to generate this artificial, I don't know, vibe.
Energy. It's a fugazi. It's a nothing.
It's an absolute nothing. Plastic energy. England, enjoy your plastic energy. Although you did push us close, I don't think that's the reason why you pushed us close. And as Ox says in that clip, you won a scrum against us, and then we got the ball. Absolutely outrageous. I cannot wait to watch Chasing the Sun 2. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Just to relive those emotions. I'm going to have to take a couple of, like, I don't know, heart medications, little, what's it, rescue remedy in the old beer while I'm watching it to make sure I don't get the palpitations. But it's going to be building on to an amazing year of rugby for the Springboks. All of our fixtures are now released. We've got Springboks versus Wales in a bit of an out-of-the-window experimental test match at Twickenham. George, you and I will be there. Followed, actually, it's a double header. It's got Barbarians and Fiji afterwards. So if anyone is in London, buy a ticket to that. It's two games for the price of one. You might even get to meet George and do a down-down competition, maybe even a chewy. Then, obviously, we've got the incoming Ireland tests. A lot of chit-chat. A lot of Sam Warburton chit-chat. A lot of people going off. Ireland are the best team in the world. Yada, yada, yada. Well, we've got time to prove it. Obviously, setting up an entire tournament, inviting all the world's best teams to participate, to find out who is the best, isn't good enough for these people. So we are now going to just do one-on-one versus Ireland. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be brutal. And while I do think Ireland are one of the best teams in the world, I think it is going to be 2-0 to the Springboks. There's no other result.
Can't be. It bloody cannot be. Look, hats off to Ireland. They're playing the best rugby in Six Nations, considering they've had to bounce back from a quarterfinal loss yet again. But they've done it very well in comparison to France, who flipping hell, what has gone on there? But bring on Ireland. Come to South Africa. Come. Papa wacht for you.
Well, listen, George, the one thing I will say is Ireland are looking good. They are the best hands down in that competition. But, you know, are they dwarves among midgets? Are they the best in the world? Or are they just better than the teams in their competition? Because let's be honest, let's go from the bottom up. Wales, trash. Italy, trash. Scotland, pretty much trash. England, trash. France, trash. Ireland, winning.
No. But you've nailed it, though. Those teams have all had their moments. I mean, England almost lost to Italy. They almost lost to Wales, who's a kid. It's like under 15 side playing against the men's team. France drew to Italy. That was controversial. Don't want to get into that too much, but
outrageous.
A lot of things happening that happened there. Scotland lost to France. Also, we've spoken about it. But anyway, Ireland just keeps winning. And yeah, they've got a big game on St. Paddy's Day, and that could have been the decider of the tournament.
It could have been the decider. I like Scotland. They are my Six Nations team, certainly for this year. I absolutely love the way they play rugby, but they are not on the same level. They're not in the same stratosphere as a top four team in the world, maybe top five team in the world. You've got South Africa, Ireland, New Zealand will beat them every time, as far as I'm concerned. And then the next three or four, you know, teams around them, a la the Six Nations and Argentina, will have a good chance of beating them. They're not a dominant side. Certainly at home, they're tough to beat, but they're not a dominant side as of yet. They are just a little bit less quality than a bigger team. But that's,
they don't have
that's the, why
they
I love watching them beat England, because it's awesome. But Calcutta Cup. Anyway, we
are the most Scottish person in the world.
We're getting away from talking about real rugby by talking about the Six Nations. If anyone is in London, is near the Kingston area, by the way, I am going to watch the Six Nations at the Kingston O'Neills. O'Neills have invited me. They're going to give me a prime time table. And if you come and say hello, I might even buy you a drink of food.